This will be our final episode for 2012, I believe. And as always, we're going to end the year off by talking about Christmas. In years prior, we've done Christmas specials. And I think last year we focused on interpretations of A Christmas Carol. This year we're going to try a different tack and tackle Christmas toys past and present. But before we get to what Santa's even under the tree, let's get to Santa's helpers. We have Wesley.
I am the son of Santa, so be nice to me, or else I can get him put you on the naughty list.
Well, apparently Mrs. Kiros is naughty to have a son, but we have Nicholas.
Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, the fire was rising, except for the mouse, Mr. Wade.
I don't even know if that made sense.
What?
But, yes.
Who are you to tell me what makes sense? We have both been through the darkness, you and I, but I was born in the shadow.
And we have Ashley.
Happy Hanukkah.
And did it have passed already, though?
Yeah, it's a little late for that.
I can still wish you a happy Hanukkah.
That's true.
Fine, you don't get a happy Hanukkah. I'm taking my happy Hanukkah back.
Very monstrous bitches.
Fair
very
enough.
Monstrous bitches.
Fair enough.
You go back to living in fear.
Yeah, that's the official. That's the official. You know, salutations. Merry monstrous bitches.
Mhm. So, if you don't add the bitches, you're not doing it right.
No, it's very. It's a sign of disrespect.
So yes, this came about because I think it was Chive.com that posted a list of. Like, the most popular kids' toys of the past 30 years or so, and we did a bit of digging and went even further back than that, and I just wanted to talk about, you know, the general trends and stuff like that, and where we were about 100 years ago, where we are now. So yeah, we're looking at, is there a name for these things, or is it just usually just the latest craze or whatever, because I mean, we've all had our fair share of them. I mean, for my generation, I was around. For it. I think it was just at the end of the Tickle Me Elmo phase. Not for me, but I remember that was the first time I really knew about this huge, like, must-get Christmas item that parents went nuts for.
I think that was when Tickle Me Elmo was when they started to make a media sensation out of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's
there was the Cat.
I don't know about that. That was
a big psychotic thing.
Not even that. Go further back to this. Well, let's just go down the list.
Yeah, it's and according we have an infographic from Very Infographic Showcase is a website, and the first major one on here is the teddy bear.
Named after the third most badass president.
May I ask just the first two?
Who are one and two?
Franklin Roosevelt is the most badass because he not only defeated Hitler and killed the Depression, he did it both from a wheelchair.
That's true.
Nobody is topping that.
Okay.
Moment.
Okay.
The second being Andrew Jackson, just for being ornery as hell. That dude fought somewhere between 2 dozen and 100 duels and won all of them.
Damn.
That's no joke. Andrew Jackson was an asshole. Yeah, like there's like, you know, the most badass presidents list, and it's always between those three guys for number one.
I'm not even gonna open that can of worms to ask who's at the bottom of that list, but
probably some people who we don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's that. So, yeah, it's interesting to think about it now, and this we'll kind of see as we go through this, because nowadays, I mean, I don't know, you don't know of any kids who haven't owned a teddy bear at some point in their life. Some people are kind of obsessive about it.
Some of us were never born with a teddy bear. Some of us had to earn one through our actions.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing this the entire show.
He had a teddy bear made of hate.
Listen, I just did, during the robot show, I did an entire song in Bane voice. So, yeah, this is happening on the show.
Very nice.
Oh, God.
So, after the teddy bears, and you'll kind of see this early on, it doesn't happen every year, or they don't rehide everything. The next big push was the Erectus set. And
everyone loves an erection.
I don't think that's what they were doing. You know.
Erector.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything. I just said the word erector.
This is a kid's show this week.
Listen, this next statement has very little to do with Christmas or erections, but I just realized the Muppet movie is on Netflix Instant Watch, so I'm going to check out for an hour and a half.
Well, thank you for the heads up.
I mean, I'll still be here, but you'll occasionally hear me going, "Oh, Kermit, why are you so great?" And things like that.
Aww.
Oh, crap, and Tight Day is, too?
Not
and Tight
true
Bandits?
Meaning of Christmas.
Holy and crap, what? All these good movies are on Netflix now. Titan A.E. and, Time Bandits.
Oh, some of those were added when the Disney deal went through.
Heck yeah. Some of
but back to Christmas.
Thank you, Disney.
Back to Christmas and Christmas gifts and these things that kids go crazy for and their parents have to buy them. Yeah, and we have Dino Trains, which I assume are just like model train sets.
I always thought they had something to do with Lionel Richie.
All night long.
My cousins were all like super into trains. Like a couple of my cousins, they had like all the train sets in their basement and stuff. We were never allowed to play with them. We were just allowed to look. But I wouldn't, you're not allowed to touch it. But I want to play with the trains. No, you can't play with the trains, Nikki.
And now we just do that with action figures, which you don't take out of the packaging.
I hate going anywhere with my mother when there are model trains because she has to look at like every little fucking detail on the model train. And I find it mind-numbingly boring. The train goes around in a circle. I'm very impressed.
So you're saying if there was a Thomas the Tank Engine convention, she'd be all about it.
Is there a Thomas the Tank Engine convention?
I don't know.
I'm sure there is, but I don't know if she'd be all about it, but like, especially around Christmas, if there's trains somewhere, she has to go look at the trains. I think it's because her dad was really, really into them. So that's something she got from that. But I fucking hate that shit. I want to smash little trains.
I never thought about it.
That seems mean.
I never understood it.
During the Mothra season, the only reason we have model trains is so we can make a model town and then stomp on it.
Yeah, it's
so you can understand.
It's the customary.
On Mothra's Eve, you just stomp everything and then you open presents.
Yes, you do it in effigy because it's by doing that you prevent the monsters from stomping on your town by doing that. It's kind of like the Jews where during Passover they put stuff on that.
Okay.
Very much.
Yeah, and then you get your weaponry. Your axes, cannons, flails, katanas.
Always katanas. No guns, though. Guns are the weapon of the enemy. We don't use
guns.
We follow Batman.
And no laser beams, because they eat those.
Yeah, that's how they get their strength. Yes, and.
We also don't believe in
death. Secret, everybody. Yes, and.
Okay.
It looks the relics on Netflix Instant.
I heard actually they just put a bunch of the DC animated films on Netflix Instant, too.
Are we just going through the Netflix Instant queue at this point?
No, but I just remember reading about that, so I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I tweeted about that. They added a bunch of them. They'll be down in like a month anyhow. Moving on, crayons, which again have become a staple. I don't think you can start kindergarten without buying a box of crayons for your kids.
Yeah, no, it's kind of necessary at this point.
And I mean, it's
you have to buy them.
Yeah, usually.
In my school, they just gave them to you.
Nowadays, usually nowadays they have like a list of like crayons, colored pencils, graph paper, all this stuff that they give you like the first week of school for your kids to buy. I've seen stuff like nowadays, parents are asked to buy like toilet paper and paper towels.
Okay, I'm sorry. It is fucked up that our schools are not funded well enough that they can buy kids crayons. Like, I'm sorry. I'm just throwing that out there. That's bullshit. Kids deserve crayons and love. Mostly crayons.
Okay.
Damn it.
Yep. The quality of life issue. It is. Because I have several friends with school-age children, and they were complaining about it at the start of the year. That's a lot of stuff that they needed to buy. That seems like stuff that should be handled by the school, like paper towels and I think toilet paper.
Should paper towels?
Toilet paper?
Toilet paper?
No, Johnny, you can't go to the bathroom unless you bring in more toilet paper. That seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't
teacher,
get it.
Teacher, I need to use the restroom. Did you bring your toilet paper? No. Well, then you can't use the restroom. Jeez!
Can I borrow some from Jimmy? Hello, Jimmy. Did you have toilet paper for the rest of the class?
Oh my god!
What?
They put all the old Doctor Who's on Netflix.
Oh yeah,
like all of them.
I'm sure there's still some miss. Like there
are the ones that don't exist anymore. No, they don't have them. But like from the first Doctor onward. Oh my god! I am never leaving the house again.
The American made-for-TV movie that is technically canon?
Oh, they don't have all of them. Never mind. They're missing two of the Cybermen, which means they didn't put all of them on here. That's a shame. They did have a lot of them, though. That's the thing.
Oh, and they actually collected them now instead of having random.
Yeah, they did. That's awesome. I'm sorry. I sidetracked again.
Yes, again.
Okay. Raggedy, you're allowed.
Raggedy Ann and Tinker Toys rounded out the 20s.
Yeah, Raggedy Ann, I thought that was a bit more ubiquitous than it apparently is, because, like, I was out with my girlfriend and her kid, like, a couple weeks ago, and Bella had no idea what a Raggedy Ann doll was. And me and Nicole were both like, what? It's a doll. It's just a doll. That's it. What's her story? She doesn't have one. She's just a doll.
Well, didn't they have a cartoon series at some point?
Raggedy Ann and Andy.
Why do you need a narrative for everything?
An animated series at some point.
Well, they did make an animated movie out of Raggedy Ann and Andy, and I've heard it's very, very messed up.
Well, why do you need a narrative? Why can't people just make it up on their own? Oh, right, television.
Television. Selling merch. Need money.
Here's one that I'm not too surprised at, but again, it's kind of become commonplace. Well, both have become commonplace. Monopoly and a few massive side viewers.
Yeah, Monopoly alone. It's like, how many, there's Street Fighter Monopoly, Marvel Monopoly.
Yeah, everybody's had their special
edition.
Everyone's
had a Monopoly.
And it's still the game that nobody can finish without getting into some type of altercation with their friends.
Yeah.
I knew it was bad.
I played Beatles Monopoly recently, and that was a very entertaining game. I decided to be nice and let my friend not buy a property that my friend needed just to be nice because she was nice to me in the game. Nope, she won. So I said, yeah, damn slumlord, and of course I should have said, but because it's funny because Beatles Monopoly is actually very fun. It's like all the stuff is named after Beatles songs. And places that the Beatles played, and like instead of like the railroads, instead of the utilities, it's like different stadiums. So it's like tickets for different stadiums that they play. It's actually pretty fun. But of course, then you go back to all the Monopoly tropes, and it's like instead of houses, it's like concerts and And it's like instead of like hotels, it's like giant arenas or like cool.
If you land on the Yoko Ono Square, do you have to stop playing the game?
You know,
I get it.
And
considering that the first part of the game is when you play the community Beatlemaniac cards, it's usually some sort of card that screws you over. It's like the first half of the deck is literally go to jail, go to jail, go to jail. I was like, wow, this game is just every card is bad until like the second half of the deck. It's like, oh hey, this game doesn't try to actively screw you until like half the game. Like, okay, just as everyone's running.
Go to jail, and while you're there, call somebody for help. You need somebody. Help. Not just anybody.
Help.
Okay.
And then you go on the Magical Mystery Tour while you're on the way to jail.
And when you're on the Magical Mystery Tour, you just kind of have to make it up as you go. Or did I just get too deep into Beatles lore for you guys? Did I get way too deep into
it? Can I buy some Lucy in the Sky with diamonds?
I also would say we need a little bit of some Mr. Tambourine Man, and we also need to get Dr. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band involved. Because it's been a hard day's night.
Ed, what about Viewfinder or Viewmaster?
Oh,
I had
God.
He-Man Viewmasters back in the day. They were the most awesome thing.
Yeah, it was always nice.
You mean 3D?
3D.
Now,
did these used to come with storybooks as well?
Some of them did.
I think so. I most of the time they had Viewmasters. It was usually like they usually had either like the scenic ones or occasionally it had someone with like the comic book ones or whatever, which was pretty neat, like random Spider-Man stuff or whatever, and that was always fun.
Yeah, I remember having a Batman ones, and I'm not having them. I don't think I actually ever owned one, but they used to have it at my daycare and kindergarten, stuff
yeah.
like that. They're fun. I still work in daycares every now and then, and it's still fun to check them out. They don't really add anything. They're nice and they're inoffensive.
And they're fun. They're Viewmaster.
This is a fun one because it's somewhat making a comeback because of a knockoff of it, but Scrabble. Which
yeah.
is now Words with Friends, and
yes.
Words with Friends is now a board game.
That cracks me up. The Words with Friends board game, like, it's Scrabble! What's the point?
It's not even that it's Scrabble. It's the fact that it's made by the same company.
That's hilarious. Like,
so, Nick, you know what? We found a way to rebrand our 70-year-old product to sell it as a new thing for a modern age. And that's by Carnegie.
Well, they want to make Draw Something a TV show, and all I can think is, isn't that just win, lose, or draw?
Or Pictionary.
That would be Pictionary.
Yeah, Pictionary. Pictionary.
Yeah.
It's so odd because these are just simple concepts that's been out there. It's like, oh, now you can do it with friends on your phone, and we're going to make it into a game now or something, and it's so backwards, but it works because it's like, you know, like you said with the Raggedy Ann story, like a lot of these things aren't known to kids, but Scrabble is kind of, Scrabble's still around.
Oh, yeah.
I can understand kind of like the TV game, because you don't really have many game shows anymore.
Mm-mm. So on the Hub, they do have that Hasbro family game night, in which they put every single game show, every single board game that Hasbro owned in the one TV show.
You know, I think there's actually a game show network. I don't know if that's still around as
it
well.
It is. Just they don't really do that much with the network anymore outside of air like a revamped version of the Pyramid and a Newlywed Game.
But yeah, I mean it's in the special section of digital cable, so I assume a lot of people don't watch it.
There was an awesome game show of Scrabble though that was hosted by Chuck Woolery. Back in
Oh yeah.
That was awesome.
They had the,
I used
to use big letters and stick them in place.
Yes. Exactly. That was amazing. I used to watch the heck out of that. Back in Wesley's childhood, I used to, on USA Network, sit and watch all the freaking afternoon game show block they used to have. And so I have like a very odd knowledge of like random game shows, and Scrabble was one of my favorite ones to watch, next to Press Your Luck, because of the whammies. Because I love the whammies.
The whammies.
The whammies.
Everybody loved the whammies.
Because they were awesome, and they took all your money.
That sounds creepy.
Yes, but they were creepy. But they were awesome. Because they were the whammies.
Fair enough. And here's another two that's common, the Sinky and Silly Putty.
Yes. Love Silly Putty. Holy crap. That was so much fun.
That always seemed a lot more fun in theory than it did in practice.
Yeah, you played around with it like, a couple of times, and it always got tangled up, and you tried to untangle it, and it just became a mess. And it could always look so cool in the commercials when they get to do it down the steps and everything. You get that like, once or twice, and then it's just a pain in the ass to work with.
I used to use it to devour my G.I. Joe toy. I used to pretend the Silly Putty was like a giant blob, and it would devour everything. And that was fun to do. I was just like, G.I. Joe toys getting devoured by giant blobs of Silly Putty. It was amazing.
Sounds like a TV show.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Slinky, I had a Slinky, and it was really funny. When I was a kid, I had a Slinky for a little bit, and I never really was many places. I never really had to take full advantage of it unless I was at a house when I was a kid that had like a lot of stairs. So I lived in a one room house. So it was more like, so whenever someone had stairs, like, awesome, Slinky. Bling, bling.
Did you do metal or plastic?
I had a plastic. My parents got me a plastic one. They never got me a metal one. That would have been I would have loved to have just had an old school Slinky when I was a kid. That would have been very
good. You could probably pick it up at the corner store for like $5.
I know, I could.
I grew up about 45 minutes out of Altoona, Pennsylvania, which is where the Slinky factory is.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, I never actually went to the Slinky factory, but there was a nearby place that was called the Slinky Action Zone, and it was like video games and laser tag. It was awesome. And I had my 16th birthday. I'm like, what are you doing for your sweet 16? I'm playing laser tag. And then they gave me a Slinky at the end of my party.
Nice.
That is so cool.
That was supposed to be my 28th birthday. We were all supposed to go play laser tag. That didn't happen, unfortunately.
Aww.
Did you get a Slinky at East?
I'm bitter about it. No, I got a haircut.
Oh.
Not sure if it's the same, but it works.
I got a rock.
It was a big rock.
Was it the People's Champion? Sorry.
It was not homophobia, no.
Homophobia.
Nobody, never get anyone homophobia for their birthday.
Or Christmas. Or any major
holiday.
There you
go, Johnny. I didn't know what to get you, so I got you Fear of the Gay. I hope it's fair.
Oh, that's so sweet. I got you a big bottle of misogyny.
Well, I have been looking to beat some women lately.
Uh-oh.
Too far?
Yeah, moving on.
A little bit. Anyway!
The 1950s, another board game, Yahtzee.
Ooh.
Speaking of beating women, the 1950s.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Yahtzee came back as something else. Was it Farco? No, Farco's something different. I know Yahoo had a version of Yahtzee that you could play. I don't remember what it was called.
I think it was Farco.
I think it was Farco.
Okay. So Farco, we're going with Farco. It also saw the introduction of Barbie.
Yay.
So the gender stereotyping has begun.
Yeah, actually, for the most part, a lot of these toys were kind of gender neutral up until, I mean, board games, Silly Putty,
yeah,
crayons.
Well,
I mean,
Girls get Barbies, boys get G.I. Joes.
I was about to say, we get that in the
and
next
girls get
decade.
Easy Bake Ovens, because they're being they have to stay in the kitchen.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's all splits together.
Well, and the 50s...
What I'm saying is women should be in the kitchen because they're Easy Bake Ovens.
Oh, God.
Well, and a lot of the 50s and 60s were sort of, you know, because, of course, in the 40s, during World War II, they're like, hey, women, we need you to come to work in the factories and do all this. So we have things. And then that kind of started a, you know, well, maybe women should be able to be out in the workplace. And so a lot of the 50s and 60s were reactionary to that in, like, gender stereotyping and in no, women stay at home and yeah. Girls play
kicking
with their
ass
and learn how to take care of your boys.
Kicking their ass back into that apron. Basically.
Technically, you wore an apron while you were welding, too. I mean, they could have still worn aprons.
Ah, different type.
While welding. But yeah. Yeah. So that's one of the big things that's being challenged today is that since the 1950s, things have become so segregated, and they are still so segregated by gender. And I know we were talking before the show, Wesley brought up the fact that they're making a gender-neutral Easy Bake Oven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because a girl went to the company and kind of said, you know, well, why don't you make it so boys will want to play with it? And of course, the big argument is well, just because it's pink doesn't mean boys can't play with it. The problem is that a lot of parents get really uptight about, you know, no, my son isn't going to play with that because it's pink. And also, there are a lot of kids that would be sort of scared away from it because, oh, it's girly colors and the other kids are going to make fun of me if I'm playing with something girly. Now, if it's like a manly oven and you're baking cake in it, your friends will like you because you have an oven and you're making them cake and it's manly.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's girly, they're going to ignore the intrinsic goodness of cake.
This is interesting why Easy Bake Oven's been still kind of stuck in that sort of frame of just being the one gender, because there's a lot of guy cooks now. It's become more and more frequent that, like, most, a lot of celebrity chefs, they're guys, and they cook, and...
Well, chefs don't use ovens. They use stove, fire.
But you know what I...
But you know what I mean.
I mean, there's a lot more, but there are more guys that are interested in doing cooking and being interested in doing stuff like that. So it's like, why not?
Well, what's even weirder about all that is the whole gender coloring is a more recent thing. Because if you look at the thing on this list, it's blue, right? My sister had one growing up, and it was white. It was not pink or anything. It was just white. So this is a more recent addition. It's like, oh, it has to be pink. Girls use it.
Well, and even the whole idea of the pink is for girls is a relatively recent thing, because I don't think that started until, like, the 20s, because before that...
It was reverse, right?
Boys. It was the masculine. Yeah. And then at some point they're like, oh, no, pink is for girls. And, like, today in Target is really, really one of the worst offenders of it. If you walk in with how strictly their gender lines are switched, and it's bright pink girl stuff and blue masculine stuff, and it's there is no neutral territory. Like, maybe board games are in neutral territory. But there's no space for, like, Legos, which are kind of gender neutral, except they had to make Legos for girls for some reason.
Oh, man, that's cringy, by the way.
And
I remember when they did that, because they got it all mixed in with the – because we had the giant Lego bucket, and then they got the girl Legos, and my mom got some of them for my sister. So they all got mixed in, and I'm like, these colors don't match at all. It just messed up my flow.
Well, what is girls' Legos?
Ugh.
Like, is it like do they have men colors and women colors, or
the girl set that I had when I was a kid, it was they were pastel colors, and the sets for guys were like castles and action-y things. Or
like, I had, like, an ice station when I was a kid, and I had, like, the giant ice station, and they...
Yeah. And for girls, it was, like, malls. You can build a mall.
Yeah.
I had the one where you could build a mall. I never built the fucking mall. And then the more modern ones are, like...
When did that become associated with...
A mall that turns into a giant robot.
When did that become associated with girls, anyhow?
Shopping.
Oh my god, shopping.
But do guys not shop? I mean...
No, women did all the shopping. The men did.
Guys shop for electronics and televisions and larger televisions. And when their wives drag them out shopping, men be all like zombies at the mall.
Fair enough.
Grr. But it's there is no neutral territory. The new Legos for girls come like half built already, I think. So the girls don't have to worry about building before they play with the little dolls and with each other, because girls like to play social games and boys like to play games that involve building things and destroying things, eating steak.
Honestly, half the boys' Legos come like that now, too, though. Like, just looking at the sets they make now, they're, like, looking at the stuff I had when I was a kid. It's like, they're all, like, specialized pieces and stuff, and there's no, like, imagination. Like, oh, yeah, no, what? No.
No, that was a pain in the ass to always step on those damn things.
My cousin is in his 20s, and he still has marks on his forehead from where one of his brothers threw a Lego at him, and it hit him in the head, and he still has a scar in the shape of the Lego, top of the Lego.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
My cousins were very good at injuring themselves and each other when we
were kids. Sounds like it.
That's actually pretty good aim and pretty good strength and even impression.
Well, okay, to be fair, the cousin that this happened to, we affectionately refer to him as the Beaver, not like as Leave It to Beaver, but he kind of looks like a beaver and sometimes kind of has the mental capacity of a beaver. He managed to light himself on fire.
What? Whoa!
He had to be airlifted to the hospital after he lit himself on fire. He nearly died.
Oh, my God.
How do I just jump on fire?
He had poured gasoline or lighter fluid on himself and lit himself on fire.
What?
Oh, so what?
He wanted to light himself on fire. I think, I don't know, I don't remember if it was an accident. This happened when they were living out in Georgia. I don't remember the whole story. But yes, my cousin lit himself on fire.
Interesting.
Well... Okay,
yeah, we're going to transition from that back to toys.
Fire is a toy.
Fire for some kids, it is. It's not a good toy, but it can be for some kids.
Dan Aykroyd's shifty toy salesman back on Saturday Night Live showed us that fire can be a toy.
And Fire Marshal Bill from Avenkaya.
Yeah, he showed us fire can be a toy.
If Happy Fun Ball begins to smoke, seek shelter and cover your head.
Well, I don't know I'm sure they fought fires, but in the 60s you saw the introduction of G.I. Joes, which...
Ah, yes.
It actually started something else that we'll probably see a couple of times down here. It's just a very cultural-specific thing, because G.I. Joes aren't really a global thing, because it doesn't really make sense to have American fighters in other countries. So they also came up with Action Man.
Action Man!
Which I also believe is the name of the cartoon overseas as well. Either that or Action Heroes.
Action Man.
They actually, they did the Action Man series when they brought it over here back in the 90s. That was an odd series, by the way.
I liked Action Man from Venture Brothers better.
The only image I get is Action Man from Venture Brothers.
He's the best.
Well, there you go. We also saw the introduction
Action!
Of Etch-a-Sketch.
Yay! That was a fun toy. It's still a fun toy,
but it's always the same. You spend time on it, and you're always going to have that friend or that sibling who comes over and screws up your work anyhow.
You're like, I'm doing a nice drawing on my Etch and Sketch. Shake, shake, shake.
Well, some people are pretty damn good with it, though.
No!
A toy that I've never really gotten into is Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Or, as the WWF put it back in the day, they had karate fighters.
I was about to mention karate fighters. You remember when they used to have those karate fighters holiday
tournaments? Yes. The karate fighter tournaments were legendary.
They had some of the worst trash talking ever.
Oh, yes. It was so horrible. But by golly, they are. If you find those things on YouTube, they are pretty golden in just how horrible they are.
You guys just made me realize something.
What?
I want to see Daniel Bryan and Kane play Rock'em Sock'em Robots against each other.
Make it happen!
They should be karate fighters to bring it back. Milton,
I don't care what
fighters.
It is. I just want to see the two of them. I want to see Daniel Bryan getting upset when Kane beats him. And pouting.
You do know, I'm surprised no one at the Wii has actually come up with doing something like that with them. Of just having them play Rock'em Sock'em Robots against each other. That would be... that because that they know that would be comedy gold.
Give it time.
It would just end in fire.
For skee-ball. Skee-ball! I want to see you play skee-ball.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I'm done, sorry.
That's cool.
The 70s were...
awesome.
70s seem to be going in a different direction. It seems to kind of be the basis as to where we'd head in the next couple of decades with fantasy and stuff like that, and sci-fi. We had Uno, which remains a very popular game. So far, they have not...
Hard game and mobile application.
I was going to say, so far they have not remade Uno, but they have versions of Uno, like Uno Attack.
What?
Yes.
Uno Attack
which
is
I actually like that.
I actually like Uno Attack as well, but basically, instead of, like, drawing something, like, you randomly have to press a button in the middle, and you might not get any cards, or you might just get a crappy load of cards, so it's kind of random. Yeah, and there's various versions of Uno, and everybody seems to have their own set of rules when it comes to Unos, whether it's stacking, or colors, or numbers, and counting, and all this other jazz. It's how I used to get through my days in high school at lunch. Dead in spades.
Really?
Cool. Yeah.
We used to play bullshit.
Bullshit's a
good
one.
Oh, yeah.
We played a lot of bullshit.
We played bullshit only when we had substitutes. Because nobody
there
ever
was
paid
a, there was a very brief period of time where I played Magic the Gathering at lunch.
Ah.
During my 3-month galleon.
Oh, yeah. I went through that too.
See, I don't know if Magic would have been something to play at lunch because you got like 30 minutes. Well, I don't know how long Magic Gathering games last.
They can last 30 minutes.
If you play them correctly, they last a while. If you play them like we did, 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Okay.
Or one of us goes, no, fuck this, and throws his cards down and walks away.
So take Uno. I mean, not Uno, take Monopoly.
Yeah, basically.
This isn't a... I guess it's a toy, but Pong, one of the first video games. it's basically a very archaic version of tennis. And we'll see as Nintendo would come back to this like 30 years later with Wii Sports and kind of find success in that.
I was playing that goofy Old Spice game 4.5 weeks to save the world, that goofy little game. There was like a great little
basketball player.
Yeah, Dikembe, yeah. Mutombo, like, and there was a great little like interstitial of it's the anniversary of Pong. I'm like, what the? And you're playing like Pong in the middle of trying to give the princess a hoagie, and you're like, okay, sure. I never got to play. I would have loved to play like an actual Pong console, Pong. Pong is just one of the first perfectly little basic games that has just been reformatted into, like you said, Wii Sports down. Like, suddenly, and like, interactive. Interactive Pong.
It's interactive and it's simple. It's kind of what always makes it an enjoyable thing. It's why we continue to play it. Kinect 4 was another game introduced in the 70s.
You know, I never got to play Kinect 4 as a child.
Really?
I never had
that
anyone really.
So much.
Yeah. I never got to play Kinect 4 as a child. I had like Monopoly, Scrabble, but I never really knew anyone who really played Kinect 4. It was usually like, I usually had the friend who would play I had Monopoly friends, I had Scrabble, but Kinect 4 was one I never really got to play. I did manage to, once we figured out the rules, to play the Marvel Superheroes board game when I was a kid. I still have it somewhere. That's actually a really fun game, too. And I still have all the little figurines that came with it. That was a really fun game. But I never had to play Kinect 4, though. And actually, it's funny when someone said, so I was watching this nostalgia critic of his things, of all his commercials, like, did you ever play Kinect 4? You didn't have a childhood. I was like, did I ever play Kinect 4 as a child? And when I looked at it, like, son of a gun, I never played Kinect 4 as a child.
Have you played it now?
I don't think I've ever played Kinect 4.
I'm not going to lie, you're not missing a whole lot.
You have actually lived.
It's a fun game, but it's extremely simple. And most of the time, it's the same strategy. Well, there isn't really much you can do other than that. The 70s also saw the invention of the speaking spell.
Yes.
Which we get back to in a bit. But it was also the first decade, I believe, which had a major push for licensed products with Star Wars action figures.
George Lucas and how that man made a crap ton of money off of that merchandise. Because he said, hey, I want merchandising rights.
Yeah, it was actually merchandising before it. It's just that it...
Not to the extent
that Star Wars did, because Fox sunk a bunch of money into Dr. Doolittle merchandise, and no one bought it. So
That is awesome.
No one ever did it after that. That was a big deal. It wasn't that it was the first major push. It was the first major push that succeeded.
Okay.
I did not know about Dr. Doolittle. That's pretty cool.
It's actually kind of interesting to think about it. I mean, because nowadays, comic books are a huge deal. Comic book properties are a huge deal. But, before, Superman, Batman, all of them had TV shows, but there was never really a big stuff with toys for them.
Yeah, they just had Ego dolls.
Yeah. But now, you can't have a tie-in product without having a successful line of action figures. It's one of the reasons why a lot of cartoons, one of the reasons Young Justice is facing cancellation is because the toy line doesn't do well.
Maybe they should have released Miss Martian and Artemis dolls. Sorry.
In pink.
Those would have sold very well.
Your show's doing pretty decent in ratings, but it's not selling toys, so we're canceling you. Okay.
Well, I mean, and I know we've brought this up before, but one of the reasons that Grant Morrison ended up getting off of X-Men was because they couldn't sell merchandise in the new costumes. And they're like, we want you to put them back in the original classic costumes. And Morrison, in his very Scottish way, said, fuck no. That was a terrible Grant Morrison impression. I'll never try again.
That was pretty good, considering Grant Morrison's thick freaking accent.
But, yeah.
You didn't mention Dungeons & Dragons.
I was about to get to that. I was holding that for ass with Dungeons & Dragons, which has launched many of nerds' lives. I'm sure you've all played it at some point.
Yeah, no. I played Dungeons & Dragons. I want to cast Magic
so
Missile.
Long. It has not worked out yet. Every time I go to get a game going, something happens, and it doesn't happen. I've been trying to play Dungeons & Dragons since I was in high school.
Same. I tried to play with my cousins, too, and we always started a game. Never went back to it. Start another game. Never went back to it. Like, the only thing my cousins and I could manage to freaking play are video games and Magic the Gathering.
How many people do you need for Dungeons & Dragons?
Well, my cousins and I, we were playing, and then sometimes we'd have, one of their friends pop in, and then never went back to it. Then there was that time they tried to get in the Rift, and I was like, yeah, that lasted
I think
like
you
five
can days. Do it with as few you can play with as few as like three people. I think optimum is at least four, so you have a dungeon master and then three people in your party.
Oh, okay. I didn't say. I mean, I don't know how it works. You could try it, like, you know, like find. I'm sure there's people on Twitter who would want to play and do like a Skype session.
Try that.
What went wrong there?
Timing.
Most of us didn't want to Skype.
Or like the timing just didn't work out. Problems with the formats, the whatever the dungeon master's chosen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like the site.
Oh,
would,
yeah,
would
that
never
was 3.5, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We were gonna run 3.5, and I was horribly confused because I'd never run 3.5 before.
And I made a character named Tenant.
Well, and for me, it's... Oh, was that your Ron Burgundy sorcerer?
Yep. I swear to God, someday that's going to happen.
Well, I am still one day going to run my... And I've had other people be interested in it. We were going to run this game before our dungeon master and one of our party members got divorced. We were going to run this game that borrowed a lot from the Cthulhu mythos and there was like madness in the blood, and I was running a character based on Ada Lovelace.
Good. Awesome.
Okay. Then we hit the 80s, and I assume this is when some of us actually started being alive.
Yay.
Let me break it down for you. We hit
can
80s,
I interject one last thing on Dungeons & Dragons?
Okay.
Okay.
I don't want to be Elfstar anymore. I want to be Debbie.
Okay.
Am I getting drunk?
So then we hit the 80s, and shit got real.
That's a great build-up for it.
Yes, the 80s. That's like a decade. That was fun.
Man,
like,
fuck the 80s.
The 80s was fun, dude. That was crazy.
Man, fuck the 80s.
That was fun.
Nostalgia can lick my taint.
Let's get to the 80s. We'll start off with the Rubik's Cube, which again remains something that has become commonplace now. I mean, almost everybody has had a Rubik's Cube. You can buy keychains that are Rubik's Cubes.
Mm-hmm.
It's strangely enough, have not gotten easier.
Then that's the beauty of them. It's like there are people who can solve them in no time, and there's people who struggle with them no matter how many times they've used it. It's simple in concept, hard to master, and all that other stuff. So.
Yeah, and what was up with the... And also, I never realized Koosh Ball came out of the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Realized Koosh came out of the 80s. I don't really remember that as much as the 80s. I remember it more in the 90s, but...
Nor did I know it was a huge thing, because it's like those cheap... Again, something you could buy for your keychain. It's a very cheap ball, but it was a huge item, and it's interesting to see... To kind of back at this, this is one of the reasons I wanted to do it, and see some of these things that are commonplace items now that were kind of a big deal at some point. I mean, most of this kind of was before our time.
Like,
it's my time.
Well, it's like the 80s for me, like, it's funny, like, the one Christmas day, like, the G.I. Joe that I grew up with more was the 3 3/4 inch G.I. Joes, and it was always funny to my parents, like, I wasn't as big into Transformers. But it was like Ninja Turtles and G.I. Joes, and usually but mostly G.I. Joes were like my big thing I used to buy when I was a kid. And it was always, we used to have a chain here, Children's Palace, and it was mostly kind of a regional, but I know around here, and whenever I got out of the dentist or whatever, they usually buy me a G.I. Joe. And it was like only like $3. My mom's like, okay, I'll get you G.I. Joe. $3. I don't care. I still have a ton of G.I. Joes from when I was a kid. My parents would just buy me, like, ooh, I want these. Okay. And then they just look, they probably said, wow, $3. They look at the other toys, it's like $5, $10. They're like, yes, we got off easy.
Yeah, I mean, action figures, I mean, they haven't really gone up in price. I don't even think they've gone up in functionality either.
There's the G.I. Joe's, like, interesting when the line, when the G.I. Joe 3 through 4th came back recently, and, like, the line, stuff that used to be, like, $3 back in the day, now it's like, whoa, it's, like, $8 now. Holy crap. But I remember that very, like, wow.
And then we kind of hit the phase where a lot of these things were just cross-media phenomenons. We had, you know, like, you had TV shows and comic books and...
Teddy Ruxpin.
Some point video games, stuff like Transformers.
Transformers.
That was my jam, yeah. Too bad they stopped making it in 1987 or so, and they never came back.
They never came back.
Now, Nicholas, there was a really cool G2 toy that had that Megatron as a tank.
They never came back.
That was awesome.
Generation 2 does not count.
Megatron was a tank.
It would be awesome if they came back and make a trilogy of movies. Probably starring that young upstart from Even Stevens.
God.
Is he in Even Stevens?
I don't know. I think that was it.
My Little Pony, I don't know if that was a toy first. Oh, no. It's a toy that inspired the animated series.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Toys were the driving force of the animated series.
And much like Transformers, it has made a comeback recently, and it's gotten to the point where men are so into it that they have their own subculture of fandom called Bronies.
Bronies.
Which kind of...
Like Bro Ponies, get Pony Bros.
Which kind of goes back to the thing... It's kind of catered towards women, but there's nothing that says that guys couldn't have enjoyed My Little Pony back then.
My sister had one. My Transformers and G.I. Joe would regularly take them out. If I take them out, I don't mean on a date. I mean they would attack the My Little Pony Dream Castle and annex it.
I used to have
robot purity.
Yeah, I used to have. I have several. All of my sisters are older than me, so like my action figures would always marry to Barbie dolls, and my rushes would always behead them, because the Barbie dolls you could pop off their heads and put it back on. We were cruel kids. Teddy Ruxpin frightens me. It's a scary looking doll.
Come dream with me tonight.
How is that not creepy?
It is creepy. Yeah, that is creepy. I never owned one of those. I'm very glad I never owned one of those as a kid. That's like one toy phantom that completely passed me by.
Okay. Then we get to the thing which I will say was probably my first major thing as a child, was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles push of the 80s, early 90s.
Oh, yeah. That's some good stuff there.
I had way too many of their action figures. I actually dressed up for a turtle like 2 years in a row for Halloween.
That's awesome.
I mean, I'm still a huge Ninja Turtles fan. I still wake up every Saturday morning to watch the new cartoon series. And all that other fun jazz. But this is the first one I was cognitive of. This is the first one I knew I was part of. Again, not known I was part of something, but I knew, like, I wanted all the Ninja Turtles toys. I had the Turtlemobile. I had the ones that swam when you took a shower with you.
That's awesome.
Wind-up toys.
Did you have any, like, the cool vehicles, like the party wagon or the blimp? And
I think I had the party wagon. I don't think I had the blimp.
One of my friends had the blimp. I was like, oh, that is very cool. Like, I swear, it was always interesting how I thought, like, I always had some cool stuff. And then I usually ran into that, the one friend who had, like, I have the turtle blimp. Son of a gun.
My cousins had the party wagon. This was the same group of cousins where one lit himself on fire, but they had the party wagon years before he lit himself on fire. I don't think there's any correlation between the two facts.
Let's hope not.
I had some stuff, but that's a shame. It's my favorite toy from the 80s isn't even on here.
Which is?
The Centurions.
What was?
Centurion! Yes!
Yeah, I'm sure that was big with all the kids. Actually, like, that show.
They had a cartoon, man. They were hot fire. No offense to your cousin.
They were probably Power Rangers before Power Rangers became big.
Dude, the Centurions was, it's all, like, I remember when, I actually had one of the toys, I had Ace. I had that
no,
one.
No, Spock, you can't fight Kirk, he's your friend. I'm sorry, Star Trek is on.
It's all good.
I think you're fucking,
I had like a couple of the
Muppets movies.
No,
don't all stop talking at once.
I had
Voltron! Yeah, I never had that.
I did not just have. I actually had Voltron. I had all of the lions that fit together to make Voltron. There was still a picture of me in my little pink nightgown with this horribly curly hair because my mother made me get a perm when I was a kid, and it was awful. And it's me with my two front teeth missing in my little pink robe holding this Voltron so proudly because I was going to save the universe with Voltron.
Shit.
That's very cool.
I always wanted the vehicle Voltron. I never got that.
It's funny how I never owned the Voltron myself as a kid, but I always knew, like, a kid who had the freaking Voltron toy. So, like, it's always funny how you get, like, there's toys that you don't own, but you end up managing to have a friend who has a toy that you don't have, and you just live, and you just basically play with the friend's toys. They're nice, and
that's what you did. You brought your toys over, they brought their toys over, you combined efforts, or you brought them to school secretly, or during that ass week when they didn't do anything, and they just told you to bring toys to mess around with for the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
But Voltron passed me by. I would catch on to the next major vehicle, which would be Power Rangers later on, but before we get there. We talked about Eggos before, but that also was a thing.
Yeah.
The 90s were kind of a mishmash. I mean, it kind of saw where we'd go in the past decade with electronics and technology, but the Game Boy was a big thing in the start of the early 90s. Well,
oh, yeah. I had one.
Yeah, it was
everybody had one.
Actually, I never had a Game Boy as a kid. I had Nintendo, though. I never had a Game Boy. But I had one better. I had a Lynx.
I thought you were going to say a Game Gear.
I had an Atari Lynx when I was a kid. It was like my first ever handheld system. I don't know what gravitated me towards the Lynx, but I think it was like...
Nothing good.
I think it was like, ooh, this is in color, ooh, it has really cool graphics, and it has Ninja Gaiden. I don't know. I couldn't really explain to you, but I ended up with a Lynx, and when I had to have a major surgery as a kid, I was basically laid up on the couch for an entire week, so...
Couldn't do anything else,
and also think of it was like, and it was funny that week I was out and I was supposed to have had homework to do. Giant major blizzard happened. School shut down the entire week, so no homework. So pretty much it was TV, recovery, and Atari Lynx. I got really good at Slime World, and. That's funny. It's like my cousins had a Game Boy. I just had the Atari Lynx. What was hilarious though, every time I brought the Atari Lynx, my cousins all gravitated towards the Atari Lynx. I was like, Wes has an Atari Lynx? Everyone starts playing Atari Lynx. I'm like, okie dokie. It's in color and it's cool. And I knew another kid who had a Game Gear, and I never knew anyone with a Turbo Express. I'm very surprised I did not know at least one person of a Turbo Express. But then again, TurboGrafx really wasn't that popular.
No.
So my cousin had one.
I do like they point out in this thing that Tetris is its most popular game. Well, yeah, it came packaged with it.
I was going to say that the funny thing about the Game Boy is that Tetris is kind of the game associated with it. But there's really not much until the end of the lifespan with the Pokemon phenomenon that happened and the resurgence in the late 90s.
There were a bunch of games for it, but killer app other than Tetris. But.
And then Pokemon, because Pokemon...
But the Game Boy just had just... Like, what was it? One game I played at my cousin's Game Boy was the... They had the Simpsons Camp Deadly game.
And I mean, there's a lot of good games.
It was not that great. Oh, man.
Link's Awakening, the Super Mario Land games. There's
Metroid 2.
Ooh, I eventually did know a kid who had a Game Boy with Metroid 2. That was cool. I got to play a little bit of that. That was really neat.
And the Game Boy kind of remained dominant throughout most of the decade, again, like we mentioned with Pokemon, but that's neither here nor there. Pong was hit right around my elementary school days, and that was a thing I never really got into. I still don't get the purpose of it.
I actually had a Pog Maker. I had a Pog Maker that you would make trading cards, and you would make Pogs. And I would make all these random Pogs out of my trading cards.
Or really anything.
Yeah, anything. Paper, Pog. Or, okay, why not? Alf, he's back. In Pog form. So.
Nick, did game fall for them? Was it, I still don't get the purpose of them.
It was a game. Pog. If you had Slammer, I never actually got to use the Slammer, the whole Slammer thing or anything like that. I just had Pogs. I swear, it's like there was this one point where everything was a Pog. Like, every company had a Pog. And eventually, once the Pog Makers came out, you could just go that crap insane with Pog. Surprised they don't still have it somewhere, honestly.
I'm sure they do have it. It's just not as popular, probably. Speaking of, another creepy toy, Furby.
I killed one.
Oh, I mean...
Those things are so weird and creepy. You know what's even funnier? My girlfriend just got her
killed.
Part of
why I killed one.
Oh, I hope it's not creepy looking.
Yeah, they're all creepy looking.
They're creepy. They're Furby.
They're like Gizmo, but without the
so
cute
what
factor.
Do.
You need to
hang it upside down and let it cry for like 3 straight minutes and then drop it. And if you do it just right, and apparently the night I broke one, I did it just right. I caused a Furby to have a seizure and just continue at me until I ripped the power
cord. Oh my god, you gave your Furby MS.
That's not going to cause more nightmare fuel for people.
And then suddenly a portal opened up.
This isn't on the list, but it was a huge thing in the 90s as well with Furby. The Tamagotchi phase.
Oh, yeah.
Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
People cared more about taking care of their stupid little electronic digital pet things than they did, you know, not trying to beat each other up.
I am surprised that somehow, with all the people I knew had Tamagotchis, that I did not end up killing someone's Tamagotchi. I did not end up suddenly killing someone's Tamagotchi.
I had one. It got interesting for a good day. And then later on, I got a Neopet, and I don't even know if my Neopet's still around.
I think they are, actually.
I don't know if mine is still around. I know Neopets don't die, but...
No, Neopets don't die, but I'm sure they're still around. I think mine are still around, but I logged on years. My ex cheated on me with a phone met through Neopets.
Oh.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's not like...
Why is she freaking out?
He was perving on kids. But, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. this is, for some reason, not in Florida.
So fuck me, Elmo.
So, yeah. Tickle Me Elmo. In the mid-90s.
That's an unfortunate toy in light of recent incidents.
God.
Yeah, that's much creepier now.
Yeah.
So yeah, did any of you have Tickle Me Elmo doll?
No.
I knew people who had them. I never owned one. I was just right out of that age range where when it came out, like I was 14, I was like, no. But I got to see all the people rampaging and trying to kill each other over a damn Tickle Me Elmo. Holy shit, they all tried those. It was so interesting to see in retail stores how people were going, Elmo! Oh, crap. Like, just having, like, freaking death battles over who gets the last Tickle Me freaking Elmo.
Yeah. So that's Tickle Me Elmo. Again, like I said, this is, for some reason, not in order. But, as I mentioned before, Power Rangers would be the next major one that I attached myself to. Again, it hit during that phase where I was, like, 7 or 8, and people doing karate, whatever the hell they were doing at the time, was awesome. I mean, nowadays it's really just bad and cheesy. But when you're impressionable, it was awesome.
It was always bad and cheesy.
It was,
yeah, but as a kid, it wasn't as bad and cheesy to you, or you enjoyed it for that. You didn't know any better.
No, that's what I mean, we were kids. We really didn't know any better. It was,
yeah.
It's cool, and this day, Tommy the Green Ranger is why I have a thing for guys with ponytails. All Tommy's fault.
And it's really interesting how
Damn you, Tommy. The
series has managed, and of course, Tommy was like the Rangers, like it was like it was sort of like he became the most popular Green Ranger, most popular Ranger practically overnight. Like once he debuted on the show, Tommy, popular Ranger.
It was kind of funny because originally he was supposed to be written off the show, which they kind of did, but they found a way to put him.
He died
back
in the Japanese in Zio Ranger, for goodness sake. So.
Yeah, it was always kind of interesting, because even later on when he came back as the White Ranger, that was a different Sentai they used. So
it's
that's
like,
why his outfit didn't match.
He's bringing Tommy back because Tommy really likes him.
And it's, well, and some of the stuff you find out as an adult about that show, like even when we were kids, the fact that the original Blue Ranger, him leaving the show was like really... really in a bad situation because he was not out. He was gay, but he was not out. And apparently on set, there was like a lot of really shitty homophobic comments being thrown around, and he got to the point that he was so uncomfortable that he basically said, I'm done.
Yeah,
wow,
he didn't
anymore.
He doesn't, like, a lot of the cast even was just kind of either through financial, like, I didn't notice until later on in life. Again, you don't, you know, pay attention to this as an adult, a kid. But when Jason, Trina, and Zach asked, they had just like weeks beforehand, so everything that with them was like recycled footage from older episodes until they could find a way to transition in 3 new Rangers. So even like their going away episodes, just seeing through a viewing globe, and it's nothing but like old footage of them.
They got sent to a peace conference.
Yeah.
And then the Yellow Ranger's dead. The Trini, the original Yellow Ranger's dead.
What?
She died
in a car crash, like right before her friend's wedding. It was. I found this out a few years ago, and it's like, what? No, Trini was my favorite Ranger.
Yeah, and Tommy's doing MMA now.
Well,
really? Yeah, he's doing.
Yeah.
Pretty damn
well. He
died
in a car crash, and Jonathan Brandis committed suicide, I believe.
And I think one of them died from... No, one of them was... Oh, later on, I think one of the ones from In Space, or Lost Galaxy, was like diagnosed with cancer. So yeah. Jesus.
And yeah, there was an interview I was watching with Amy Jo Johnson, and they asked her about the girl who played Trini, and she said, "Yeah, we were really close friends. We were talking like almost every day they were on really good terms during that period of time, and they had kept in touch even after the show, and then when she found out that she died, she was yeah." That really crushed her, and that broke my heart. I was like, damn, because I didn't even know Trini died until like a few years ago, and I was like,
This also had Beanie Babies.
Ah, yes.
And Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story.
Was that actually a thing? I never knew that was a thing.
I didn't know the Toy Story was. I didn't think it was a huge thing. I assume it's kind of one of those things that's always been there, but it's. I don't remember it being a huge fad.
Oh, I remember. It Buzz actually for a while, like you couldn't find him in store shelves. He was like not even able to be found on the store shelf for like ages until like probably like in the spring of the next year after his big hit. It was like, oh, now you see Buzz everywhere. But during that first Christmas, nowhere.
I'm going to be honest. The rest of this list outside of the video game systems, I've never heard of.
I've heard of Brett dolls.
Oh, Brett. Yeah, but I've ignored their existence because they're tech.
They're awful.
Oh, they're very, very bad.
I used to have friends with younger sisters, and the Bretts, I mean, if you know, people complain about Eggos for girls and Easy Bake Oven, that was like a complicated thing. Girls are nothing but superficial who all go in dress-up types.
Yeah.
It would be like a dude version of Brett. But it just...
There was
Brett
a different...
There was
homies.
Homies? No, that was a ghetto version of Brett.
Oh, God, I had forgotten about those.
Brett's
girl.
Be like bros. It would just be like boy dolls and like white beaters and their hair stickers. Holding beer cans.
Actually, they did make boys' Brett dolls.
They
but they made like they made guys for the brats to date, and then you could like style their hair with hair gel. And the girls could fight over them, and brats. And I think the owner of Bratz got sued.
Yeah, he did.
He was supposedly working for Mattel when he designed the Bratz, so Mattel turned around and sued him. And it's like, well, your dolls suck anyway, dude, so go away. Now the big thing is the Monster High dolls, which at first I thought sounded really cool, because it's like, dude, it's like vampires and zombies in high school together, and that's awesome, and it's totally this alternative thing. And then I looked into them, and I'm like, no, they're just like Bratz dolls, only they're zombies, and they're still like, oh my god. He's gonna ask the werewolf out, and
so it's Twilight.
God. That girl's a zombie.
You authorize some sort of payment?
Yeah, it's basically it's if Twilight could be worse.
Oh boy!
Fraud
yet because it hasn't cleared.
Yeah, Razor Scooters I've heard of, but I don't get the big deal with them.
Do you have it on you now?
Do you remember? They had the Razor Scooters, and they had the little mopeds. That was the thing for a while.
So my count's also negative. $165.
I never really did it.
What is it, Lassie? What is it, girl?
Yeah, I never knew too much about the Razor. I'm actually looking at the... Oh, God, I had not seen these Monster High monstrosities. Oh, God.
Bella is super into those things.
They looked so cool.
They.
The vampire has a pet bat.
Okay, that's actually not too
not
bad.
Cool.
They're not too bad, but still, it's... Yeah. It's like Bratz, but with monsters.
And like I said, I felt like, okay, so if you're doing these horror-based dolls, they're going to be, you know, at least slightly more alternative than Barbies. And it's like, no, they're just Barbies, but Halloween all year round, and fuck you.
Yeah. Robo Sapiens, I've heard of, but I don't know what they are. Like, I've heard of them because I don't know why I've heard of Robo Sapiens. I have no idea what the High School Musical dance is.
Yeah, I had no. I saw that. Like, what is that?
I know. I mean, I know what High School Musical is. I didn't know. Like, is it?
No, but I think the Robo Sapiens is really heavily advertised.
I know what Ben 10 is, but I have no idea what the Ben 10 Alien Creation Chamber is. Is it like the the monster stuff? I forget what it's called. Where you like pour goo into it and it would make a creepy crawlers.
Creepy crawlers. I had that when I was a kid. Those were fun.
So is that what this?
No.
Oh, did it? No.
I don't think it's quite creepy crawlers.
Okay. I have no idea what it is though. But the other stuff I know of, video game systems. PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, Nintendo Wii, Nintendo DS, Xbox 360. All remarkably popular systems at some point in their life. I think PlayStation 3 must have a bit of a stretch, but...
The DS was... I remember... it's funny, it's like... I love how the PSP is not even remotely on this list. It's like, nope.
Well, I mean, that would be a huge stretch. I don't think it ever had.
But continue, Ashley.
I was at Best Buy when the 360 released. And I was on the release team for that at my store.
Ditto.
Because the other girl who worked in my department, when she was asked what the difference between the Xbox, the regular Xbox and the 360 was, her response was, I know they're different colors. So they put me on the release team because I knew what was going on with it. And we got 32 systems the morning of the release. And then they told us we weren't getting any more until February. This was in-demand toy. So they were sending, and parents weren't ready for, like, you would think that every year there are all these reports about the big toy that you can't get your hands on. You think parents would know this. And I had an elderly gentleman yell at me in the middle of the store because I did not have a 360 grandchild.
Yep. Yeah, it only got worse as time went on because the PlayStation 3 and the Nintendo Wii all kind of released to the same thing where it was just, insane.
So many memories there.
Yeah, just an insane amount of people who wanted it, or who part of it is also that these systems, some people call it artificial demand. It takes a lot to ramp up production of them. So even when they aren't, and they're smart enough, they aren't around the holiday season, so it's a hot ticket item. It's not during the middle of the year, where you kind of have time to cool off. So it's kind of like you release it, it's like, I can't find it anywhere. My kid wants it. And, it's insane, and it builds up this hype that people kind of continue on into the new year, and that's kind of what they hope for.
What was funny is, when I was at Best Buy around here, the PSP was actually strangely hot.
The PSP started off hot in the States because, at the time, the PlayStation brand was an extremely remarkable brand. It cooled down after about a year or so because people realized there wasn't much to it. It's the same thing. The 360 started off hot, but it cooled down after a while. The Wii started off hot, and then it continued for a couple of years. And the PlayStation 3 was kind of iffy, but it was in short supply, so it was a big must-have item just because you couldn't find it.
Then it picked up. Then the PS3 picked up again, picked up for a little bit, then kind of went down after. The DS managed to stay pretty strong for a pretty long period of time. That's pretty amazing.
It isn't. If you think the original Game Boy lasted almost a decade, that's a huge thing.
I mean, I like how it says on here. It's like the DS, the best selling handheld game console. Because more than 149 million units have been sold. I'm like,
I believe it's now the most popular system of all time. I think it just surpassed the PlayStation 2. At one point, I think 153 million units sold, but still an insane amount. And while it's not on the list here, the two most recent hot button objects have been the iPad, and they can do fire ash here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody wants them.
Yeah, again, the all-purpose tablets are kind of the in thing. And it's really odd because, you know, it's getting to the point where it's harder and harder to justify. I mean, I guess it's easy to say kids should get these things, but it's so odd because a lot of these things just seem way too advanced given little kids.
I just like Ashley's picture she just posted to us.
Yeah. Bella has talked about how some of the people at school have, like, iPads and Kindle Fires and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of weird when people started giving their kids iPhones, but now kids have, you know, like kids are born nowadays, and they get, like, their first touch of, like, touch screen interface at, like, 3 or 4 now, so it's becoming common nature for them, but it's still insane, because it's a $500 piece of technology that you're giving to a 5-year-old. When you compare it to what we started off with the teddy bear, like, and where we are now.
I mean, heck, when I was a kid, I'm like, wow, I have a Nintendo. Awesome. Now.
Yeah.
Whoa.
As much as I love video games, I do think that it kind of stagnates the type of creativity kids used to have with action figures and dolls and stuff like that, because you always kind of made up these worlds in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they existed in cartoons and stuff like that, but you created something else. I mean, it's I used to have wrestling figures when I was younger, and, you know, you always have matches and you do play-by-play.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Nowadays, you don't even have that in video games. Wrestling video games have play-by-play, so you don't even, like, I used to do it in, like, OTHQ games. I'd put on computer versus computer matches and just call it. Again, just to craft your own story, but nowadays, it's all there for you. You don't have to create anything.
Which one was I playing? It was one of the Smackdowns for PlayStation, I think. And you did season mode, and it would run a whole show, and it would tell you the results of every match, but you only actually had to play through your own. And for some reason, I don't know why, S.A. Rios could not be defeated.
Wow.
Every single match S.A. Rios was in with the computer, he won. And you know, we're playing this years after S.A. Rios is not even with the company anymore. Like, he's long gone. And it's like, you guys had really high hopes for him, or there's a major glitch in their programming.
I'm going to go with the latter. Or that someone's a big Lita fan and they just wanted to go all through her history and have all the people she's associated with be good, including the ones who weren't.
Yeah, so, I mean, are there... Is there anything else you folks want to touch on before we begin to wrap for this year, I guess?
Nah, F this noise. Nostalgia is bullshit.
Well, I mean, I think it's hard to say, because toys, I think, aren't something that age poorly, I don't think. Like we mentioned, a lot of these things are still around, and still pretty much the same capacity they were introduced.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, like, it was interesting to realize, like, when you were being, Earl, when you brought up the Chive list and that you linked up and you have the, like, the WWF action figures. And it's like, those are still, while they were kind of goofy back then, there's a charm to them now. There's an odd charm to them. Like, even like, these are like, if you were fun as a kid, like, they're strange. Like, they're goofy looking, but they're kind of fun in their own. They kind of like have a charm in their own right of how they all had some sort of action move to them. Like, I actually owned a good chunk of these toys, too, so I...
It's kind of interesting now, because now one of the big things, one of my roommates in college was huge into collecting action figures, and, like, when we were younger, and toys are still kind of like this, the tiny ones aren't really known for their flexibility. You can kind of move their arms up and down in their legs.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got, like, a giant Spider-Man action figure that had, like, 128 points of articulation. So, yeah, you can move, like, every joint in the action figure and pose him in all these ways. And he had, like, movable fingers. And it's just insane. Like, that's a lot of detail. Not necessarily needed, but it was cool to see. It was a giant figure. I mean, personally, and I was also... My big thing as an adult was when I got my Tumbia. It's a remote control Tumbia that's about 3 feet tall, wide, I should say. And it's, we took it down to the basement of our dorm freshman year, and I would just have it, like, jump up and down the steps.
Wait, Tumbler's been around that long? How did you get a remote control website? I don't understand.
The other type of Tumblr.
Where did you get the porn from it?
Yes, Tumblr is for porn and nothing else.
How did you get people talking about weird alternate ways of living?
Alternate universes. But no, the Tumblr that jumps on rooftops that houses a big black bat.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, and I had some other ones because it's one I still enjoy doing this. I don't do it as often anymore, but I love going to like a store during Christmas and seeing what's the new toys and stuff like that. My push was really kind of towards superheroes and comic books recently, shotgun. So for a time I collected Batmobiles. I have a bunch of, and this isn't on the list, but Hot Wheels. I have a ton of Hot Wheel Batmobiles.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Hot Wheels wasn't on this list, and that remains a toy line that continues to be successful and popular. The Army Men, the Green People.
Army Men.
Stuff like that. I'm going to buy my kids that stuff, and they won't get any iPads until they're like 15. They'll be behind the curve.
I just like to see the licensed stuff, especially with all the Marvel movies coming out. Mm-hmm. Like, I almost bought myself a Captain America mask and shield. I don't even like Captain America. I just wanted the mask and shield because I thought it was awesome. I did not buy them.
That's cool looking.
Oh, that reminds me of the, they had this for the Fantastic Four and the Hulk, but the Hulk gloves and the Thing gloves.
Yes! The Hulk smash gloves. Yes, those are awesome. Yeah.
You know the weirdest? There actually is one odd thing. Do you remember when Dragon Ball Z was starting to hit big in America, they had the Kamehameha bands where you put the bands together and it would go, you put the play in there and you put it into like the other end, it's like going, it's like going, Kamehameha. I'm like, this is so dorky, but this is really cool for some reason. And I never get in the Hulk band.
Okay.
I had a Sailor Moon wand and locket.
Yeah.
And they were musical. They played music when you used them. Now, I want everyone to know that I had these things while I was in high school.
Nothing wrong with that.
I went out and I bought a Sailor Moon locket and a Sailor Moon wand when I was in high school.
I
had a Sailor Mars doll until the dog ate it.
I think people kind of go through that phase. You phase it out, and then it comes right back in because you kind of want that stuff. I mean, you get money too, you know, because there comes a point where people stop buying you all these toys and stuff for Christmas, and you get clothes and socks and gift cards and stuff like that. But once you kind of get your job and stuff, it kind of goes back because it is nice to have, and it is nice to kind of be reminded of that stuff. I am disappointed looking at Amazon that they don't have a Bane voice changer this year. I thought that'd be
I'm
a big ticket. That seems like it's going to be a big ticket item this holiday season. But what
they,
can you do?
They don't have Loki's glow stick of destiny either, do they?
Oh, that's a shame.
From Avengers, because that would be cool.
What would you look for Loki's glow stick of destiny? But yeah, I mean,
good
anything
God,
else?
That would sell a mint with those.
Anything else you folks want to say before we begin to wrap?
Nope.
Okay. So, like I said last week, we're taking off next week because it's just going to be a pain in the ass to try to schedule anything around Christmas and New Year's and people traveling and family coming in and family going out. So yeah, we'll take that week off. We'll be back in the new year, whenever that Friday is, I guess the 5th, fish?
Yee-yee.
Whatever. I have no idea what we'll do. Oh, we'll probably do our movie preview show. So yeah, look forward to that. You know, we'll still provide content on the site. I doubt it's going to be DLU during that period, but we'll have stuff. Check out Nick's amazing A to Z Christmas Spectacular this week.
Heck yeah.
Woohoo!
Everybody on this podcast is actually on.
Yep.
And contributed something, along with a cavalcade of guest stars from other places as well. And also me.
He gets hair on
and
amazing
when you,
Christmas.
And when it's a cavalcade, you know it's good.
It's going to be cavalcade this osity. That's a word
dude.
That I've just made up.
I'm cool with that.
But yeah, no call next week. But
yeah, that's Christmas Day, so I don't expect anything to happen that day. Or I guess the week after, because that's actually New Year's
Day,
too.
Yeah, I'll have a column for the week after.
Okay.
Because I'm awesome.
So for Nicholas, Ashy, Wesley, Anthony, who hasn't been around in like 3 months.
Yeah. You have to stop recording at 7:30 at night on a weekday.
Yeah, we tried during the week. Like, we had that one weekend, and he didn't show up. He overslept, which I still find impressive since he's 5 hours ahead of us. But yes, yeah, so we'll try to get back to a normal weekend recording. But yes, this has been Nurse on the Rocks episode 117 and our final episode for 2012. We'll see you in the new year.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night, Mr. Wayne.
He's the man with all the toys. Someone found a lighted house late one night, and he saw through the window a sight, a big man in a chair. He's the man with all the toys. How thrilled that someone must have been. And he must have been tempted to go in.
He stayed out in the cold, and when he left them he told
about the man with all the toys.